I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, September the 28th. Is that right, Chris?
That is correct.
Sorry, I'm just so relaxed right now. I kind of, my brain's trying to turn itself off because this is how we do the podcast now, Lauren. I'm Brad Locke. That's Lauren Wood, co-hosting today.
Hi, everyone.
I'm holding the mic.
You are holding the mic.
It's not in the stand. I'm holding it. I did this the other day at the end of the show. I'm like, I like this. I feel more just...
I feel like you have like a stage presence.
I guess.
Like, I'm important. I have a microphone in my hand.
I don't feel as, you know, I feel like a...
Free.
I'm talking to people more than at them now.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Just lean back in my chair, my leg up.
Yep.
Mic in my hand. You should try it sometime.
Power.
So, yeah. Lauren is filling in for Derek, who's busy doing, like, quote-unquote work, as he calls it.
His real job.
Yeah. How's it going, Lauren?
Pretty good. It's been a hectic morning.
You've had an adventurous day already, haven't you?
Tell us about things I've done to myself.
I would call it pulling a Rachel, because this is something my wife has done many times in the past, is lock herself out of the house.
Oh, I have. I used to shout out to my parents if they're listening. They know my car troubles from like high school, college. I would lock my keys in my car constantly.
Really?
Like, all the time. So, or like, I ran out of gas one time. Mm-hmm. There's just like a whole plethora of stories like of car trouble. So this time it was my house though. The deadbolt is like not working.
It's not good.
So I locked myself out of the house this morning, and then my phone wasn't working. So just like a whole number of things. But I got the fancy new phone.
Oh, you got the new iPhone 7. I'm thinking about getting it because mine keeps acting weird.
It has like the like touch thing.
The touch thing.
Like, I mean, I got the like bounces. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
it's not a button anymore.
It's not a button?
No.
What? Let me see that.
Yeah, press it.
Let me see that.
Just press it.
Whoa, that's weird. I need it to press down. It's not pressing down.
Yeah. It just like...
And your passcode is? No. I've got the 10.0 update, so I got a lot of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I got the 6, iPhone 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's basically the same thing, just like little, you know, like little bounce. It's different.
Interesting.
So, but you have the new iOS. So
yes, so I got all the cool
laser stuff.
Like, I got lasers now.
Texting.
I haven't used any of it in like 2 weeks. But
I used it all the first day.
I wrote notes to my sister and like sent her all these.
Yeah, this
things.
Is cool.
Yeah.
And I was doing that for like 2 days and then I was done with it.
That's how most of it goes. The emojis all look different.
Yeah, they do. Including the gun. Now it's a water gun. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. I get being like...
And they've also added, like, male and female counterparts for everything. Like, oh, there's a guy getting his hair cut, and there's, like, a female running or walking.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
I haven't studied the new emojis
just
yet.
Just look through them. They're all different.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's not really that weird, but...
They're not sexist anymore?
No, not even that. Just, like, there's a more variety for more people, so...
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was going to make a blonde joke about you locking yourself out of the house, but you're my friend and you might hurt me.
Thanks, Brad.
So I won't
appreciate
say that.
That.
It's okay. I tease my wife all the time about being blonde.
My hands were full. I just had like a bunch of things. So, because I always have to bring an extra pair of shoes for my job. Because it's like I'm going to a Christmas tree farm later this afternoon.
Oh, right.
And I can't wear flip-flop. Like, I can't wear sandals. So I got to bring like
work
shoes.
Boots.
No, just like tennis shoes.
Something to cover your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Like, that's like, I have a whole new wardrobe in my car.
So you plan ahead well for that, but you forget your keys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Everything. I had a sweater in the bag.
Yeah, how about this weather? It's been nice.
Oh, it was gorgeous sitting on the front porch for 10 minutes.
Sure. Hey, at least that was a plus.
This morning, yeah.
Get to enjoy the weather this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think tomorrow it's only going to be up in the 70s.
Oh, really?
But then next week it's going to get back into the 90s because summer just can't
Are you
let,
kidding
summer
me?
Can't let go. Okay. It's going to get up in the low 90s next week. It's going to make me angry again.
I hate this.
And hopefully that'll be it. Okay.
You say that.
October's here Saturday. October arrives on Saturday.
September has been, besides like this week, has been getting hotter
brutal.
And hotter each week, which
brutal.
Is counterintuitive.
It's been
That's
like,
not how it's supposed to work. So
I don't think it was this hot in mid-July.
No. It was actually the hottest September on record.
Ever.
So,
which I'm sure shooting football has been pretty rough. Oh,
been glorious. And it's all been day games. So I've just been preparing my safari outfit for...
There's no shade at the football stadium.
Well, if you're in one end zone, there's shade at each of them.
Time of day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can get it just right. So
cool.
It's a night game this week, though, at Ole Miss.
So it is.
Memphis, yep.
Oh, yeah, Memphis and Ole Miss.
6 o'clock start. I'm like, oh, you get to shoot that one. Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
You're pretty much always shooting a game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, MSU was off this week.
Yes, they are.
And then they'll play Auburn the next week, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds right. The 8th? I don't know where it is. I think it's at home, too.
Yeah, they do have Auburn the 8th.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, well, we got a good show today, Lauren. We've got Caleb Bedelian coming on to talk about police advisory boards and such. We got Bobby Harrison coming on to talk about campaign finance reports. And we've got Jenna Parsons to talk food.
Food.
Bet she doesn't bring any.
Yum.
She never does. We love her anyway. She'll bring her charming personality and wit, though. So that's good enough. All right, all that and more here on today's episode of The Memo. Thanks for joining us. Let's get going. Oh, hey, by the way, today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's, the locally owned grocery store, still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. All right, let's welcome Caleb Bedelian into the show. Welcome back, Caleb. How's it going?
I'm good, Brad.
Hey, I want to ask you about the story you had about some of the city's leaders, including Mayor Jason Shelton, some council members, Assistant Police Chief Alan Gilbert, and others. They're in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now at this conference that deals with police review boards or oversight committees, whatever you want to call them. And obviously that's been a big topic here lately after the Ronnie Shumpert shooting. So what are they hoping to learn at this conference?
Well, Mayor Jason Shelton has just emphasized that these conferences are an opportunity to basically network and learn from others that have been in similar situations.
Yeah.
This conference is hosted by the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement. So, you know, that entails review boards, oversight boards. The terminology varies. This is something we've heard most vocally from the Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders here locally in Tupelo. Want to see some kind of oversight panel run by civilians that would hear complaints about police misconduct or even police brutality. Not quite sure there's a committee right now appointed by Mayor Jason Shelton and city council members, each pointed different people to the committee. They're looking at the possibility of something like that here in Tupelo. Based on some of the chatter I'm hearing, the idea that may end up coming out of it may end up looking more like an advisory board that would kind of just be a kind of a sounding board for the police chief, kind of be the voice of the community, but wouldn't have any kind of direct judicial or administrative ability to deal with misconduct. But we'll see. I mean, I think the mayor has tried to say, you know, that's part of the point of going to this conference is try and figure out what's out there, what the different options for a oversight panel are, how they operate, and then bring that back here locally and see, in his words, what's going to be a good fit for Tupelo.
And there should be plenty of examples to draw from. I mean, especially considering all that's happened nationwide with police shootings of minorities, and certainly that's not just a big thing here. It's a big thing everywhere, big cities, small towns. I mean, there should be plenty of info to glean from this.
Right, definitely. There is no city in Mississippi, large or small, that has a civilian oversight panel. So
not even Jackson, huh?
What? No, not even one in Jackson. Huh. The nearest, it's been discussed, like it's been discussed here, but it's never been implemented.
Right.
The nearest city to Tupelo with one is Memphis.
Okay.
And then, of course, Atlanta has one. So nationally, there are, you know, probably hundreds, but they tend to be more common in larger urban areas.
Yeah. Okay. You know, this is something that has been that Mayor Shelton says has been brought up by people in the past, and really over the years, it's been something that's kind of been maybe on the back burner. I guess maybe the Shumpert situation kind of just brought it to the forefront.
Yeah. Basically. Mayor Shelton described the Shumpert situation as the catalyst for renewed discussion, but if you look back in our archives, the Daily Journal's print archives, as I have done, you'll see that a group of primarily black community leaders appeared before the city council. Man, I think it must have been in 80, 81 maybe.
Wow, you went way back in the morgue.
Jeez. Well, I had a little help. I knew where to look.
You can get a little dusty going that far back into the
archives. You can, but they basically were asking for essentially something like this. It never went anywhere. And then Mayor Shelton said, you know, he has had people approach him throughout his term in office, which began in 2013, and ask for this. And it was, you know, people discussed it with him when he ran for mayor. So it's, I mean, something he has known about, that at least some people wanted it, but obviously there's been no serious effort to look at the possibility of one until now.
Right. And of course, this is part of a larger effort by the city to have some, you know, improve relations between community and police and other things. You know, he's had several committees that have been formed to look at various issues.
That's right. Six committees were formed. Two have already finished meeting and disbanded. Those were primarily had to do with city employee positions.
Right.
One was looking at a new community liaison, which will be created, probably have a person in that position by the end of October or sometime in November. But the four that are still meeting, you've got the civilian oversight or review board, you've got community-oriented policing, you've got a committee that's trying to look at how to get the faith community more engaged, or how the city could engage with the faith community. And then the last one is looking at the city's hiring and training policies and practices.
All right, so when do we find out, Caleb, exactly what they learned on this trip? When are they going to report back and maybe give us some details?
All right, city council members and the mayor and police chief, like you said, those that were on the trip are coming back. That'd be Thursday afternoon or evening.
Okay.
So that would be tomorrow from when we're speaking. Maybe different for listeners at home.
Sure.
But and then at some point, there's going to be I think they're going to do kind of a group interview with local media. And then, of course, they'll also report back to the oversight committee. So probably sometime next week, we'll get a sense of what they learned at the conference.
Okay. Well, good stuff, Caleb. Again, the story ran this past Saturday. You can find it in the Daily Journal. Find it at djournal.com as well. And look for more coverage coming soon. Thanks, Caleb.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
And be sure to look for the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phillips, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So look for a new episode of that today. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Also, wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi, and a five-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. Okay, let's go down to Jackson. We're joined by Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Journal. How you doing, Bobby?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'll be better if the Cardinals can keep beating the Reds. Sorry.
Well, the Reds have helped out a lot of teams this year.
Well, I know you're a Reds fan, but being a Cardinals fan, I need some help from your team by them losing to the Cardinals the next 2 days.
As a Giants fan, I'm going to say go Reds.
Well, they've been good this year, that team, so you have a lot to be hopeful about. Playing the Reds this year.
Well, anyway, let's talk about something you had in the paper today, Bobby, about this new website unveiled by Secretary of State Delbert Hoseman, where political candidates can report their campaign finances online, finally bringing Mississippi into the 21st century with this. And also, us taxpayers can use this website to look and see who's donating to whom and how much. It seems like a pretty cool deal, Bobby. Just The question is, can they get people to start using it on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's the main way the campaign finance is set up right now. You can go online and see the PDF files, but that's just sort of a handwritten pages online.
Right.
So you can't type in Chris Kiefer and find out how much Chris Kiefer gave to perhaps a number of different candidates. It's not searchable.
Several, I'm sure.
You have no idea.
So the difference here is that you'll be able to do that, but The only problem is it's not mandatory. It's candidates have the option to do that right now. Congressman is hoping that actually, you know, today, the way technology is set up, it might be actually be more convenient for candidates to, and their campaign staffs to put to just put this information online, because probably they have the printouts in some type of computer application anyway.
Yeah.
So he's hoping that they do that, but it's not mandatory. So it, you know, it's almost like for us, for the guys in the press, if you want to look see how much money somebody gave, you're not getting it. You still aren't getting the true picture. Right now, you have to just dig through literally thousands of pages to find out how much money one person might have given to several different candidates. If they have, and with it not being mandatory, you're still not getting the true picture of how much somebody's given. You know, Hoseman said he hopes to get legislation passed to require everybody to do this by 2020. So if that happens, that will be a big shot in, towards getting more transparency in the state government and in the political system. This is a good first step. It's a small first step, though. And this is part of several election reform proposals Hoseman hopes to get passed during the 2017 legislative session that starts in January.
Bobby, this is Chris. I wanted to jump in and ask something. You know, obviously, as reporters, we're real familiar with this, but for people who are listening and don't do this every day, can you just kind of speak to what the benefit would be of being able to search this database and to find out? So I guess right now, you can look at candidates and what they're receiving, but you can't really narrow in donors. And can you just kind of talk about maybe some of the things that could kind of enlighten you in your reporting?
Well, I mean, just tells, you know, who's supporting the candidate and who, you know, and somewhere down the road, if, you know, legislation is passed to help, you know, X company, and the CEO of X company gave $10,000 each to a number of legislators, you know, that tells you something. That's, you know, that's not illegal. But it's still, it just kind of provides more insight and more transparency into what's going on. Now, that information is available now, but as I said, you know, no one has time to go. You know, Haley Barbour used to turn in campaign finance form. He raised much money. You know, there were literally 1,000 pages of campaign finance forms, and you had to go through every one of those. And then when you finish that, go through Bill Bryant, who was lieutenant governor at the time. And it's just, no, especially today, but at no time did any newspaper had to have the time to do that on a routine basis. But if you can just go online and click in a name, and it shows up that I'll pick on Brad Morse gave, you know, to 20 different legislative candidates, you know, that tells you something and provides information about what, you know, then you go back and look at what Brad Morse does for a living, and you can, you can gain some insight into the political system.
Sure. What he's hoping to accomplish maybe with those donations, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You mentioned a minute ago, Bobby, that this is just one of several reforms that that Delbert Hoseman is hoping to accomplish. What are some of the others?
Yeah, well, I mean, centered around campaign finance. You know, right now, a candidate can just, you know, put down on his campaign form as far as expenditures that he spent $15,000, for instance, on his American Express card or his Visa, MasterCard. And that doesn't really tell you anything. You know, you want to know what that, you want that itemized, know what money goes for. So he wants to change the law to require those expenditures be itemized, so you know what the money's going for. And a lot of candidates do that. You know, you see on campaign finance reports all the time under the expenditure category, just that the payment was made to a Visa or MasterCard or to a credit card. And, you know, perhaps the big one that's related to that is, you know, Mississippi is one of the few states that allow candidates use campaign finance funds for personal expenses. You know, there have been reports done of, you know, when candidates retire or leave office or step down and don't run anymore, they can cash out their campaign finance money and just take it, and, you know, they have to pay taxes on it, but it, you know, they can use it as their own personal money. You see, you know, in the past, you know, candidates have, you know, left office with $100,000 or more that they just converted to their own use. You know, there's efforts to change that to require the money to be given to another candidate, given to charity, perhaps, you know, given to state government, to you know, just to the general fund. So those are the two big ones related to credit cards and personal use of campaign finance funds. And so, you know, those have come up during the 2017 session. Those actually were in legislation that passed during the 2016 session, but not legislation that passed, obviously, but legislation that was considered during the 2016 session, but it was died in the process.
Bobby, moving back to the website, you said, it's live now? It's available to use it?
It's on there now. We have judicial elections coming up, and the next campaign finance reporting deadline for, you know, candidates for Supreme Court, Court of Appeals. We have at least one Supreme Court race up in Northeast Mississippi, and the campaign finance next reporting deadline, I think, is October 10th, and it, you know, candidates can, if they choose to, can use this website at that time and place their campaign finance reports on the website in a searchable form at that time. It won't be mandatory, but it can be used at that time. Right now, you can go to the website, but there's nothing there. They're not going to go back in time and take the campaign finance reports that have been filed in the past and convert those. You could convert those to a searchable form just by typing them into the program, but it would take a massive amount of time to do that. So they're not going to do that. They're just going to do this moving forward. Now, you know, the next big, you know, Hoseman, Secretary of State hopes, you know, everybody, all the statewide elected officials, all the legislators, they are required to file an annual report in late January. And he's hoping that it would get a lot of use then, that a lot of the statewide and a lot of legislators will choose to use the searchable format at that time and put their campaign finance reports on into that application.
Sure. And what is the website, Bobby? How can people find it?
Right now, it's kind of tricky because there's nothing on it. You just go to Secretary of State's website, which I think is www.sos.ms.gov. Or maybe I got that backwards, but it's in my story. And you have to go through a couple of links when you get there to find it. And probably as it gets into more use, they're going to put it in a more prominent place on the Secretary of State's website. Get to it now, but it takes two clicks. I think once you get to the Secretary of State's website, you have to click on elections and on campaign finance and get there through those steps.
Sure. And that website is sos.ms.gov. One more question, Bobby, before we let you go. Again, you talked about some of the reforms that he's also proposing. I know we've talked in the past about some of the online voting and voting registration and whatnot that he's hoping to do. Did he talk any about those yesterday or what might be the next step with some of those?
No, that wasn't brought up, but he's going to go back and try to propose those again during the legislative session to allow people to register to vote online and also to provide a period for anybody can vote early, say going to the clerk's office in your county and vote 10 days before the election. Right now we have what we call absentee vote, where if you're going to be out of town on election day or you're disabled, you can vote by absentee. And in the past, there's, you know, that people have argued that's where the corruption in the election process is. If there's corruption, it's in absentee voting. And Hoseman and others argue that if you just had one machine set up in the courthouse in the circuit clerk's office for 10 days before the election, where you're going to vote just like you did on election day on the election machine, that would cut down on the possibility of corruption. But the absentee voting, what happens is you go into the courthouse and you fill out a paper form that has to be converted to the machine. And also what happens is you can get, in certain instances, you can get the ballot mailed out to you. Say you're in a nursing home or something like that. And that's, and people argue that if you just had the early voting where you can just go into the courthouse and vote on, it would cut down on the possibility of corruption.
Sure.
But legislators aren't ready to do that quite. Last year they weren't ready to do that, so we'll see if they changes in the election law come about as slow as any changes in state government, because you know this affects people who are in office and they got in office under the current system, so they say, well, you know, that system worked pretty well for me, why do we want to change it?
So, yeah.
So these changes often come about slower than other changes in state government.
Sure. Well, thanks, Bobby. Appreciate your time today.
All right. Y'all take care.
You too.
Hey, I want to remind you to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. We did not have a show this week. We had technical difficulties, Chris.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes, we did.
No need to elaborate. Except technical difficulties. We'll try to be back next week for that, though. All right, now it's time for today's news memo. And for more on these stories, you can read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. New funding will help students from low-income families take advanced placement tests in high school. The Mississippi Department of Education announced Monday that Mississippi is one of 41 states, along with Washington, D.C., that received a total of $28.4 million from the United States Department of Education. The MDE received $189,781 in grants as part of its efforts to boost college and career readiness for historically underserved students. By subsidizing advanced placement test fees, the AP test fee program encourages all students to take AP courses and tests, allowing them to obtain college credit while still in high school. This allows students to reduce the time and cost required to complete a post-secondary degree. One AP test costs $93, which can add up for students looking to take more than one. Based on the anticipated number of tests to be taken, the grants under the AP test fee program are expected to be sufficient to pay all but $15 of the cost of each AP test taken by low-income students.
Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein will make a stop in Oxford next week to lead a student town hall event. The event will take place on October 3rd at the Lyric. Doors will open at 6 p.m. and the town hall begins at 7 p.m. Information tables and networking opportunities will be available for students prior to the start of the town hall. Stein will make opening remarks and will then answer pre-selected questions from students. The event is free, but seats will be first come, first serve. Although the event is geared towards students, anyone can attend.
A couple of projects will soon make a big difference at Saltillo City Park. County crews started repaving the half-mile walking track on Monday morning. They also will complete a tennis court expansion in the coming weeks. Saltillo Mayor Rex Smith said the work on the walking track should be done in a couple of days. Workers will fill cracks on the track and lay down an inch of new asphalt. They also will repair spots in the parking lots and road. The tennis court expansion resurfaced the existing three tennis courts and added a fourth court, as well as new fencing and lighting. It will cost $173,000 and will be funded in part by a grant from the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks. Smith said he hopes the courts will be ready for tennis in a couple of weeks.
Lee County voting precincts will have electronic poll books in place by the November 8th presidential election. Circuit Clerk Camille Roberts believes the electronic poll books will make it quicker for local residents to cast a ballot. Poll books list every citizen registered to vote in a given precinct. Poll workers use the books to ensure that prospective voters actually are registered to vote, are in the correct precinct, and have not already voted. The electronic books will allow citizens to scan their driver's license to more quickly locate their registration information. The new books will cost taxpayers about $89,000.
The Lee County School District is in the process of refinancing its $13.5 million bond issue. Refinancing the bonds is expected to save the district $700,000 over the course of 17 years. The bond issue passed in 2013. It funded construction and infrastructure projects across the school district, including new classroom buildings and cafeterias on several campuses. Lee County School District business manager Michael Martin said refinancing will save the district around $41,000 per year. He said those savings can be redirected to meeting the district's other needs.
Vanelli's Bistro has been open a little more than a week, and owner Vaz Vanelli said the reception has been better than he expected. It's been nearly 2.5 years since the old Vanelli's on North Gloucester was destroyed by a tornado. The reopening of a smaller version of the restaurant downtown has long been anticipated. Vanelli's bought and renovated the building at 206 West Main Street, putting in the latest and most energy-efficient appliances and fixtures he could find. Gas-operated stoves and ovens, tankless water heaters, and LED lighting were installed, and they're already paying off. On Tuesday, Vanelli's received a $4,300 rebate check from Atmos Energy, which has partnered with the Mississippi Public Service Commission to help small businesses get energy-efficient rebates. The program offers startups and businesses that reopen reduced rates and alternative deposit options. PSC Commissioner Brandon Presley said, while big businesses typically get big incentives, the smaller mom-and-pop operations shouldn't be left out.
Need to remind you again that today's show was sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother, Jason, are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program, so the store now sells its groceries at 10% over cost, and that's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
So we have Jenna Parsons here today to talk about the food section. So
but,
I see...
But no food.
Yeah, no food.
No just, food.
Just no chocolate sugar
record.
Cookies.
Putting it on the record. Yeah, no chocolate yeah. sugar cookies. They sound good.
You know what? I could have brought y'all a homemade ice cream sandwich. Charlie's got it, but he counted them when he put them in the freezer, and he would know that there were some yes. missing. Oh, yes. And plus, y'all would be taking food out of the children's mouths.
Yes.
Your children?
You have some birthdays coming up
your
in your family,
mouths?
Right?
Well, yes.
They're basically grown up. I wouldn't feel bad.
I don't know, 32, 22, and 20, you know, whatever. Yeah. But do have a granddaughter coming, mm-hmm. which was the reason for the ice cream sandwiches.
Grandma that, Jenna.
Yes, Gigi.
You're going to be yes. Gigi? Is that official?
Yes.
Is this your first grandkid?
Yes, but she'll be 9. Yes, but I was 44 when she was born, oh, okay. and I said mm-hmm. I am not going to be grandma or nana or big mama.
Okay, I thought you were saying you're about to have a granddaughter. She's coming to visit.
She's coming to
I'm
visit.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Charlie's daughter Jennifer and her husband Nick and their daughter Zoe mm-hmm. are coming from California
cool. mm-hmm.
this weekend, and so Charlie makes all the favorites. So yeah. he's making stuffed shells, which is an Italian dish that he grew up with in Connecticut when he lived there. It's ground pork and ground beef and spinach and garlic and onion and
cheese.
All yeah, and tomatoes, homemade tomato sauce stuffed into shells, topped with two different cheeses. Mm-hmm. So he's making a batch and a half because this is one of Jennifer's favorites, and then of course Mary and Patrick love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he also. Is made homemade ice cream sandwiches, and he has those in the freezer. And the cookie part of them uh-huh. is a chocolate sugar cookie recipe Ooh. That he found several years ago.
And delicious.
The cookies in their own right are very good. Mm-hmm. I don't even really like sweets, and I ate one of these hot off wow. the pan. There yeah. was an odd number.
Oh, yes.
You know, you
yes.
have to have an have even to number to do an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, sandwiches.
So I was just doing my part.
Ooh, that sounds really good. Maybe we can get Charlie to share some. We'll see.
Maybe. I would feel bad about taking him away from my yeah. granddaughter, though.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
So, and the cook of the week is a Sean Smith.
Sean Smith.
Yes. It's fun to get a male cook of the week in the mix sometimes, too.
Yes. So. Yes. I actually get a lot of nominations for men, but they're not as easy to pin down.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are just seem to be a little more flexible
yeah.
and will let me come to their workplaces. But men, a couple of times I've gone to workplaces, but more than not, I mm-hmm. have to catch them when they're at home. And so yeah. sometimes that means weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean actually works at Hunter Douglas. And so okay. he gets off at like, I don't remember, two mm-hmm. in the afternoon, I think.
Okay,
so
good.
Yeah. We spent some time with him.
Nice.
After he got off work one day.
Yeah, and he Mexican skillet.
Yes, he had really made this one skillet mm-hmm. Mexican dish that I thought was absolutely delicious. It's
really?
Made, you start it with ground sausage, and it's got macaroni in it and just all oh. sorts of yummy goodness. It's got a little sour cream at the end, which gives it sort of a creamy texture to it. Mm-hmm. He gave me a little cup of it to take home.
Ooh.
And it was still warm, and I got home and I had a bite and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so good. But I'm going to save some for my husband, Charlie. And so when Charlie got home, I said, oh, you've got to try this. And he tasted it and he didn't like it. And I will tell you why. Because it's made with macaroni and he doesn't eat macaroni and cheese. If Sean had used Ooh. Any, yes, I know. Really? He likes cheese. He likes pasta.
But he hates America.
I think he had a bad batch.
I actually just said to Justin yesterday I could eat macaroni and cheese every day.
I can eat it as a meal. I can eat it for breakfast. But if Sean had used shells, if he had used bow tie, if he had used spaghetti.
Really?
I can just tell any you, other noodle? Charlie would have loved it. But when he saw that macaroni noodle, he was just... He's like, well, it's okay. And so I said, well, fine. So I ate the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to make it. Yeah. I'm going to make it with a different pasta. And he's going to say, oh, my gosh, this is so this good.
Is so good. Oh, that's funny. Well, there's also like a quote in here from him that I feel like kind of could resonate with a lot of people. I was in my 20s before I found it was cheaper and better for you and tastier to cook meals at home. And I'm learning that totally as I get later into my 20s. It's just like so much more convenient to cook and you get leftovers.
Right.
And you know.
And you get to have whatever you want. You know, you're not at the mercy of whatever restaurant you go to or that your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend picks. Mm-hmm. He said that sometimes you just need your mom's meatloaf.
Yeah.
So he called his mom and he said, I need some recipes. And I said to him, so how did you get your recipes? And he kind of turned red and he said, well, I stole them. And I was like, beg your pardon? And he said that when he called his mom, she said, well, look, I've got my recipe box. I've got your grandmother's recipe box. Just come get what you want. Uh-huh. So he literally took them. So that's how he has all the recipes that he grew up eating.
Oh, that's great.
But he's also, and his wife, Julie, who was the cook of the week 2 or 3 years ago, uh-huh. He said, is more likely to bring in a new recipe and say, let's try this. And mm-hmm. so they'll try it the way it's written, and then they'll start tweaking it. But they cook together just about every night. They're always in the kitchen.
Oh, that's fun.
And they eat their meals at the kitchen table, mm-hmm. not on the couch, not in front of the TV, no phones, but family time.
That's great.
Yeah, because this is a pretty young, I mean, Sean's 46, mm-hmm. so it's good that they're instilling in their children, they share 3 children, mm-hmm. the importance of sitting down without distractions, even if it's just 30 minutes a day.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you.
Great show, Lauren.
Yeah, Brad, you're so relaxed still.
I did put the mic back in the stand for the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But now
you're...
That we're at the close of the show, the conclusion, the end.
It's your banter style, your banter
Yes,
position.
This helps me banter better.
Got it.
Makes me a better banterer. Is that how you say it? Banterer? One who banters?
Hey, you're the one with the microphone in your hand, so whatever you say goes.
I kind of feel like I should do some stand-up.
Let's hear it.
I can't think of any jokes now. I could tell my Cadillac joke again.
The one you told the other day?
Yeah.
Same one. Right.
You've heard it. Haven't you, Lauren?
Probably. I mean, I don't know.
It's a joke I made up when I was 7.
Oh.
Kind of cars to cows drive? Cadillacs. Get it?
Oh.
Can't believe I didn't go into comedy. At an early age, it was obvious that I had the gift.
You missed your calling, Brad.
I still try to be funny sometimes when I write.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work.
Kudos. I'm not funny.
Lauren's just trying to humor me over there.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Brad. Okay, sure.
Yep.
You're a funny
a
guy.
A for effort.
Yeah.
A for effort.
if you weren't my friend, you would probably be more harsh. Actually, you probably wouldn't because you're a very, very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the more I know you, the harsher.
Yeah,
that's probably how it
would. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I know it would come from a place of honesty. Brad, shut up. You're not funny. Just tell me the truth, Lauren. That's all I ask. So anyway, people can find us online at iTunes, podcast apps, memo.djournal.com. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Lock. So is Chris. He's not at,
not
Brad,
at
Lock.
Brad Lock.
He's at Chris Kiefer. The first F is silent. At
the
Chris Kiefer.
First F is silent until October, and then it's the second F.
This is Misha Rogers rolling by
just
again.
Just rolled by, yeah.
Second
annual.
Time. She looks in here every
daily,
time. Second time she's done that, she just has to look in. Anyway, yeah, rolling by in her wheelchair because mm-hmm. she's got the bad knee.
Yeah, the tear.
Should have Misha on here to talk about how that happened. It's very interesting. anyway, Misha works in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you're on Twitter, Lauren.
Mm-hmm. I don't really tweet very much, but
you
I'm
don't,
on there.
Don't, do you? At Wood, LAU, number 2. Someone's calling you on your new iPhone 7.
Mm-hmm. They've already called me today. I don't know, Sacramento, California.
They probably want
nobody
money.
I need to talk to. So.
I get numbers, strange numbers from out of state all the time. I think they just want money or want to sell me something. Hey, doesn't that no call list for cell phones go into effect the 1st of October?
I don't know.
I think it's pretty soon, so maybe I won't get all those calls, except from the people that I owe money to.
See, the only bummer about getting a new phone is you have to remember all your passwords for everything and log back into stuff.
Mm.
So, good luck, everyone.
Hey, once again, I want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for recipes for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer Brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. So visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer. Speaking of food, Lauren, I haven't had a cake of yours lately.
I know.
You're overdue to make a cake.
It's not been anybody's birthday lately.
Mine's so coming up in December.
It's not soon enough, Brad.
It's not. You made me a cake last year, though, so I'm not gonna ask you to make another one. I mean, unless you want to.
I love making cakes.
I wouldn't turn it down.
Whose birthday is it coming up? I'll make you cake.
Anybody got a birthday? Chris, when's your birthday?
April's birthday.
Who?
April.
April Clark?
Yeah.
When's that? When's her birthday?
Soon.
Make
I don't
her
know
a cake.
The exact date. Yeah. I know
bring
it's,
it to
it's
work
very
we'll
early
have,
October.
And we'll eat it.
Hi, April.
Yeah. Or just invite us to the party. April, wife of former Journal employee J.B. Clark, for those of you not sure who we're talking about. Chris, when's your birthday again? What'd you say?
15th
of
October.
Really? There you go, Lauren. That's about 2 weeks
I
away.
I didn't know that, Chris.
Make a cake for Chris.
Yes, I did last
I'll
year.
I'll be out of town
you
that
did.
Weekend.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate yeah. it.
I'll be out of town that weekend, though. I'm leaving town the 14th. Go to a
oh,
wedding.
Oh, I am too.
Yep. Sorry, Chris.
I have
no cake
my
for you.
Cousin's wedding.
Bring it on like a Thursday before or something. That's a Saturday the 15th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday. It is a Saturday.
Yeah, it's
Saturday.
My cousin's wedding.
Nice. I'm going to a wedding as well.
In Kentucky. My other friend Kentucky. Kelsey is going to a wedding too.
You got a cousin in Kentucky?
Yes. Cincinnati. Like Covington. It's like literally you can be in Covington and see Cincinnati. Like that's
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like right across. It's I actually guess. A really cool town, Covington.
Yeah, I've got to go back to Ruston, Louisiana for this wedding. One of my best friends is finally getting hitched. Took you long enough, Jonathan. I'm just kidding.
It's a good day. It's a good day to get married. It's a good luck day.
Yeah, yeah. October 15th is the wedding day, I believe.
Yeah, it's a very popular wedding day.
That is your birthday too, as you mentioned.
It's your birthday.
So.
It's a good day.
I get to go to Louisiana. Hopefully it'll be nice and cool down there. Haven't been in a couple of years since I went to my 20-year reunion. Still can't believe I've had a 20-year high school reunion.
Yeah.
And that was two years ago.
My 10-year one's coming up next year.
Really?
I'm like, probably not.
You're going to make it up there all the way to Michigan?
Well, because they're like, well, we might do it on homecoming. I'm like, okay, that helps like the people that still live there. A lot of people from my graduating class have moved like all over the country. So,
really?
I mean, it would be really hard. It'd be easier around like Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I think that Thanksgiving was also one of the options. Hmm. But, yeah.
Okay.
So I had a lot of people in my graduating class.
You what?
I had a lot of people.
How many?
Actually, my graduating class was small compared to the other years, but we had like 450.
Good grief. We had like 220 something.
My sister had like 700.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Big school. Mm-hmm. What town was that you're from? I always forget.
Brighton.
Brighton. That's the name of it. That's right. I just remember that.
Good old B-town.
It's the same name as a town in England.
Brighton
that
Bulldogs.
That has a really good music scene. Brighton, England. A lot of musicians come out of there.
Cool.
A lot of musicians come out of Brighton, England?
No.
I mean, Brighton, Michigan?
Michigan.
The only, like, claim to fame, this guy who was in the year above me was on The Real World.
The Real World?
Yeah.
On MTV.
Zach Nichols.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that show still on the air?
His sister Allie was in my
Is that show still on the air?
Probably.
I don't know. It's been on forever.
Didn't you tell me y'all had a big athlete? Was it Drew Henson was from Brighton?
Yeah.
Oh, Drew Henson, yeah. Played baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Went to Brighton.
Okay. Woo.
That's about Brighton's only claim to fame, those two.
And,
so.
And Lauren Wood.
And Lauren Wood, photographer extraordinaire slash podcast co-host. Yep.
No, it's a lot of cool people there. But
okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for filling in, Lauren.
Thanks.
Always fun to have you on here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
don't
for having me.
Don't lock yourself out of the house again.
Yeah. Let's not do that again.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of The Memo. Mm-hmm. And I guess Derek will be back as well. So, till then, have
thanks,
a good
guys.
One. Yep.